Welcome to our 11th Sunday after Pentecost Worship Podcast of Holy Cross Lutheran Church of Austin and Our Savior's Lutheran Church of Brownsville, Minnesota, August 21 to 2022. This is Pastor Olana. We begin in the name of our God, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Make us known your ways, O Lord, and teach us your paths. Lead us in your truth and teach us. For you are God of our salvation, for whom we wait. Amen. If we say we have fellowship with God while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not live according to the truth. But if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sins. Let us confess our sins. Have mercy on us, O God, according to your steadfast love. According to abundant mercy, blot our transgressions. Wash us thoroughly from our iniquities and cleanse us from our sin. Create in us a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within us. Cast us not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from us. Restore to us the joy of your salvation, and uphold with us a willing spirit. Amen. Now receives absolution. Our Heavenly Father has had mercy on all of us, and through Jesus' work has set us free from sin, death, and the devil's power. Through the faith instilled in us by the Holy Spirit, we know and I declare as an ordained servant of Christ that you are forgiven in the name of our God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Indeed, if the Son set us free, we are free. We are sure that He hears us if we ask Him for anything that is according to His will. He hears us whenever we ask Him. And since we know this is true, we also know that He gives us what we ask from Him. Now let us praise the Lord. Let us pray. O Lord, you have called us to enter your kingdom through the narrow door. Guide us by your word and spirit and lead us now and always to the feast of your Son, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, and now forever. Amen. Our Old Testament for this 11th Sunday of the Pentecost is taken from the book of Isaiah, chapter 66, verse 18 through 23. For I know their works and their thoughts, and the time is coming together all the nations and tongues. And they shall come and shall see my glory, and I will set sign among them. And from them I will send survivors to the nations, to Tarshish and Pol and Lud, who drew the bow, and to Tubal, to Javan, to coastland afar, that have not heard my fame, or seen my glory. And they shall declare my glory among the nations. And they shall bring all your brothers from all nations as an offering to the Lord, on horses and chariots, and litters and mules, on the dromedaries, and to my whole mountain Jerusalem, says the Lord. Just as Israel brings their grains offering clean vessel to the house of the Lord. And some of them also I will take for priests and for Levites, says the Lord. For as a new heavens and new earth that I make shall remain before me, says the Lord, so shall your offspring and your name remain. From new moon to new moon and from Sabbath to Sabbath, all flesh come to worship before me, declares the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks to be God. The place taken from the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, verse 4 through 24. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted the point of shedding your blood. And you have forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and chastises every son whom he receives. It is for the discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son there whom his father does not discipline? If you are raised with a discipline in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Besides this, we have heard earthly fathers who discipline us and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to Father of spiritual and live? For the discipline does for a short time as it seemed best to them. But the discipline us for our good that we may share his wholeness. For the moment all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields a peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Therefore lift your dropping hands and strengthen your weak knees, and make a straight path for your feet, so that what is lame may not be put off joint, but rather than be healed. Strive for peace with everyone and for the wholeness with which no one will see the Lord.
See to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness spring up and cause troubles, and by it many become defiled. That no one is sexually immoral or unholy like Esau, who sold his birthright for a single meal. For you know that afterwards, when he desired to inherit the blessings, he was rejected, for he found no chance to repent, though he sought with tears. For you have not come to what may be touched, a blazing fire and darkness and gloom and tempest, and the sound of trumpet and voice whose word made the hearers beg, that no other message be spoken to them. For they could not endure the order that was given. If even a beast touches a mountain and shall be stoned. Indeed, so terrifying was the sight that the Moses said, a trembling with fear. But you have come to the Mount Zion and the city of the living God and heavenly Jerusalem, and the innumerable angels of his gathering, and the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirit of righteousness made perfect, and to Jesus the mediator of the new covenant, and to sprinkling blood that speaks a better word than a blood of Abel. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks to be God. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, 13th chapter. Jesus went on his way through town and village, teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem, and someone said to him, Lord, will those who are saved be few? And he said to them, strive to enter through the narrow door, for many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able. When the master of the house has risen and shut the door, and you began to stand outside and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, open to us. Then he will answer you, I do not know where you come from. Then you will begin to say, we ate and drank in your presence, and you taught in our streets. But he will say, I tell you, I do not know where you come from. Depart from me, all you workers of evil. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, when you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets, the kingdom of the King of God, but yourself cast out. And people will come from east and west and from the north and south and recline at the table in the kingdom of God. And behold, some are least who will be first, and some are first who will be last. This is the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
Father, find in you, O Christ, has God revealed his heart and will and mind. You are the truth, your word alone, true wisdom can impart. You only can inform the mind and purify the heart. Tomb proclaims your conquering arm, and those those who put their trust in you, not death nor hell shall harm. You are the way, the truth, the life. Grant us that way to know, that truth to keep, that life to win, whose joys eternal flow.
A blessed day to you. This is Pastor Stolman with a Bible study of the Epistle Lesson for the 10th Sunday after Pentecost. But first we begin with prayer. Almighty God, Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for making our saving relationship with you possible through your Son, Jesus Christ. O Holy Spirit, continue working faith in our hearts as we now listen to your word, as we believe it, and as we obey it. We ask this in Jesus' name, amen. This Sunday, we continue our series of readings from the letter to the Hebrews. Our readings in this series are from the latter part of the letter. Having heard about the heroes of faith in chapter 11, we have been encouraged to be steadfast in our faith in God through Jesus Christ. We come now to the application of our faith as we live with God and those around us. In the first part of our life, we learn discipline from our parents. It is important that we learn that discipline with their help in our families, so that as we mature and leave home, we can live the self-disciplined life of a Christian. The disciplined life is also described among the seven gifts of the Spirit in Galatians 5, and the one particularly that may refer to self-discipline is called self-control. Whether self-control or self-discipline, we struggle against the temptations of our sinful world. With this background, we now continue reading in Hebrews chapter 11, picking up where we left off last week. We stopped at verse 3. Today we start at verse 4, Hebrews 12. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And have you forgotten the exhortation which addresses you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor lose courage when you are punished by him. For the Lord disciplines him whom he loves, and chastises every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons or daughters. For what son or daughter is there whom his father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline, in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons or daughters. Besides this, we have had earthly fathers to discipline us, and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For our earthly fathers disciplined us for a short time at their pleasure. But God disciplines us for our good, that we may share his holiness. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant. Later, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Therefore, lift your drooping hands and strengthen your weak knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. Strive for peace with all men, and for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one fail to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness spring up and cause trouble, and by it the many become defiled, that no one be immoral or irreligious like Esau, that's Jacob's twin brother, who sold his birthright to Jacob for a single meal. For you know that afterward, when he, Esau, desired to inherit the blessing that he had given away, he was rejected, for he found no chance to repent, though he sought it with tears. For you have not come to what can be touched, a blazing fire and darkness and gloom and tempest and the sound of a trumpet and a voice whose words made the hearers retreat, that no further messages be spoken to them? For they could not endure the order that was given. If even a beast touches the mountain, it shall be stoned. They're talking now about when they were at Mount Sinai. Indeed, so terrifying was the sight there that Moses said, I tremble with fear. Well, we have not come to that, but you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels in festal gathering, and to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to a judge who is God of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks more graciously than the blood of Abel. Thus far the reading. Some time ago, I was invited by a friend, to attend a presentation with him at the University of St. Thomas in St. Paul. The presentation was preceded by a dinner to which we also were invited. Remember, the University of St. Thomas is operated by the Roman Catholic Church. So at that dinner, we were seated at a table for six. There were two Catholic priests, my friend and I, and a young couple. In speaking with that couple, I found out that they had been Methodist, but had converted to the Roman Catholic Church. Being curious, I asked them why. Their answer was that they sought discipline in the Christian faith to help them with the struggles of life, and they didn't find it in the Methodist Church, so they joined a church that was known for its discipline, the Roman Catholic Church. By the way, the Roman Church isn't the only church that practices Christian discipline. As a Lutheran Christian, we study God's Word together so that we learn how to practice Christian discipline in our lives, together and also by ourselves. As we are studying this Word of God today, we see that discipline is necessary in the Christian faith and life. Discipline helps us keep steadfast in our faith and helps us live out our faith. Martin Luther, in his explanation of the third article of the Apostles' Creed, explains how we receive this precious gift from God, our faith in Christ, when he writes, "The Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctifies and keeps me in the true faith." God has given us this precious gift, faith, which saves us through our Lord Jesus Christ. And he doesn't want us to wander away from that faith, or true faith, as Luther puts it. Our Christian parents didn't want us to wander away from the Christian faith either, in which they were raising us. Helping us stay in that faith included discipline. When we did wrong, they punished us so that the next time we were tempted, the fear of punishment would stop us from doing wrong. But they also loved us and took care of us, and so they encouraged us to do what was right by their love. Basically, they were using the threat of God's law and the promises of God's gospel to train us in holy living. They were doing what Luther recommended in the beginning of each of his explanations of the commandments. We should fear and love God so that we don't do wrong, but also do that which is right. That discipline helps us lest we wander away from our faith in Christ. James, in his New Testament letter, describes how a person might wander from the true faith by being unstable in faith. And this is what he writes in chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. "For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that a double-minded person, unstable in all their ways, will receive anything from the Lord." Thus far the reading. God wants us to be stable in our Christian faith and lives. Being stable also includes having goals in life, as our reading from Hebrews today points out when it says, "Strive for peace with all men." That's the goal. and for holiness without which no one will see the Lord, another goal. We strive for the peace of God and avoid the problems created by a sinful world, which can lead, as Hebrews writes, a root of bitterness, and that root of bitterness can spring up and cause trouble by which many have become defiled, making them immoral or irreligious like Esau, who sold his birthright for a single meal. We don't want that, and we don't want to become lost. The good news is that by faith in Christ, we are blessed with the presence of God here, and we look forward to that presence of God, as the writer to the Hebrews in chapter 12 concludes, coming to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels in festal gathering, and to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to a judge who is God of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks more graciously than the blood of Abel. Isn't that beautiful? What a picture of heaven. Let's pray. Gracious and loving God, you have called us to faith in you through your Son, our dear Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus Christ, you and the Father have sent the Holy Spirit to guide and help us in our daily living. O Holy Spirit, you have sanctified us that we may live in faith and live a self-disciplined life. Help us remain faithful and continue doing that which is right for the glory of your name. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let us confess our true Christian faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed.
Let us confess our confession in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into heaven, and the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and he sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Join me, please, for a closing prayer. Lord Jesus, you have made known to us the things of the kingdom today. Show us to apply what we have learned in this service to our daily lives. Help us to make wise choices throughout the week for the glory of your name. May we be able to shift through all that we have learned so that we can walk in your ways. Father, give us wisdom that leads to love and faith. In Jesus' name we believe and pray. Amen. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and glory forever and ever. Amen. Now receive the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord makes his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord looks upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. Go in peace and serve the Lord. Amen.
May God bestow.